Thank you, Pastor Dave. Good morning, church family, and what a joy it is to be all together worshiping the Lord. Amen? Amen. Our continuing journey through the Apostle John's first letter brings us this morning to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. So let's read those this morning. If you're using the church Bible, you'll want to turn to page 863. The Holy Spirit has inspired and breathed out this letter through his servant, John the Apostle, written to a number of churches in Ephesus who were struggling with the incursion of false teaching, and written for us. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Let's read. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. That's the word of God for us this morning. Let's pray as we prepare to exposit it. Lord, we ask that your word might indeed come to dwell in our hearts by faith. We ask that you would give us wisdom and discernment, understanding, and the ability to apply, that we might, with discerning minds and spirits sensitive to your spirit, experience your word in action. In Christ's name, amen. Your doorbell rings on a Saturday afternoon. You answer it to find two people at the door with some literature in their hands. And they ask you questions such as, are you interested in spiritual things? Or have you ever wondered what the end of the world is going to look like? As the conversation develops, you find them to be courteous, pleasant, confident, and most of all, sincere. But are they right or are they wrong? Is their teaching true or false? How can you tell? The Apostle John helps us to answer this question in 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6. At the end of chapter 3, John writes that the Holy Spirit of God, whom we have received, gives us the assurance of salvation. Now, moving into chapter 4, John tells us that there is yet another spirit at work in the world. John informs us, in fact, that there are two spirits active in this world, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit who glorifies and elevates Christ. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of the Antichrist is the Spirit of a substitute Christ who lures people away from the real Christ. The spirit of the Antichrist sabotages God's truth. So the spirit of the Antichrist is the spirit of falsehood. Now, John writes this letter to the churches he oversees because the spirit of the Antichrist has already infiltrated these churches and snatched people away. And that very same spirit is still infiltrating churches today, spreading falsehood and luring people into the darkness of deceit. There are people who claim to be Christians. It's easy to claim to be a Christian. There are people who claim to be Christians, and they claim to have the Holy Spirit, but in reality, they are of the deceiving spirit of Antichrist, luring people into spiritual death. So we need spiritual discernment. Our life depends on it. We need to discern the difference between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist. We need to recognize the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. We need to discern whether these sincere people at our door are true teachers or false teachers. Our life depends on it. And so we must put the spirits to the test. We must test whether teachers, any teacher, by the way, that includes me, we must test whether teachers are from the Spirit of God or the spirit of the Antichrist. In other words, where are they coming from? That's what John tells us as we open chapter 4 of his first letter. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, John uses the word spirit to refer to who is activating the teacher. And there are really only two possibilities. The teacher is either speaking from the Holy Spirit or from a demonic spirit. And we're talking about spiritual teachers here, not algebra teachers. The spiritual teacher, the teacher claiming to teach spiritual truth, is speaking either from the Holy Spirit or from some demonic spirit. So we're not to believe every spirit. We're not to believe every teaching that comes down the pike. We're to believe only those teachings that are from God. That's why the phrase from God or of God occurs 7 times in these 6 verses. You read from God, from God, from God, of God, from God, from God. Because we're to believe only those teachings that come from Him. And so we must test the spirits to discern the source, where is this teaching coming from, and the quality, is it genuine, of the teachings. John wrote in the Greek language, and the Greek word translated test was used in the first century for testing metal to see if it was genuine and unalloyed. Was it a genuine thing through and through, or was there something other in it? Likewise, we must test the spirits to see if the teachings are genuine teachings from God, unalloyed with falsehoods. And we need to test the spirits thoroughly. For some teachings are 90% genuine to make them believable, and 10% alloyed with falsehood to make them dangerous. You see, Satan tries to destroy the truth. And when he fails to destroy the truth, then he corrupts the truth with 10% falsehood. He packages the lie inside of the truth. So he presents 90% genuine truth to make it believable and 10% falsehood to make it dangerous, to corrupt the truth, to alloy the truth. That's why we must inspect the spirits thoroughly. Not casually. Not perfunctorily. Not superficially. Thoroughly. And we must test the spirits diligently. For the unbelieving world is saturated with false prophets. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. And so they're speaking from the spirit of the Antichrist. We must test the spirits diligently. I have with me this morning the standard work on false teachings. It's entitled Kingdom of the Cults, 700 pages. 700 pages on false teachings. And this covers only the major ones. Not enough space to cover the minor ones. What John said in the first century is true today. 700 pages on false prophets. Many false prophets have come out into the world. And so John writes with urgency, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, whether they're genuine truth, unalloyed, because the world is saturated with false prophets, false teachers, the spirit of the Antichrist. Well, so then, how do we do this? How do we test the spirits? How do we inspect whether a teaching conveys genuine truth from God, or a demonic lie of the Antichrist, or some alloy of the two? Well, there are plenty of answers that could be given. John focuses on two with which we begin. We begin by testing two groups of people. The first group of people to be tested is the teachers. And again, not English teachers, but spiritual teachers. What do they say about Christ? What are they teaching about our Lord and Savior? Verses 2 and 3 of 1 John 4. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Okay, so here's how. Here's the test. Here's how we know whether the Spirit is from God or not. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Spirit of the Antichrist is here. The man of wickedness, maybe not yet here, but the spirit is here. The spirit of the Antichrist. And then there's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit always glorifies the Son of God. One of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in our day is to lift up, exalt, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the testing of teachers, whether they are from the Spirit of God, centers on what they teach about Christ. What are they saying about Jesus? Now, we need to test the teachers regarding what they say about Christ in three respects. We need to test what they say about the person of Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Who do they say he is? Do they affirm that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, or do they deny that Jesus has come in the flesh? In other words, do they affirm or deny the incarnation of Christ, that the divine Son of God became human? The true teaching from God is that Jesus Christ is one person in two natures. his fully divine nature and his fully human nature. That's the true teaching. That's the teaching from God. That's the teaching that the scripture gives us. Jesus is one person in two natures. His fully divine nature and his fully human nature. And so the one person of Jesus Christ is both truly God and truly human. And the Spirit that is from God will affirm that Jesus is one person in his fully divine and fully human natures. And the Spirit of Antichrist will deny that Jesus is one person in his fully divine and fully human natures. And this is how we recognize the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. So then, if the courteous and sincere people who ring your doorbell tell you that Jesus is the Archangel Michael who became human, they thereby deny the deity of Christ. Because the scripture tells us that God became a man, and these folks say an angel became a man. And therefore, this spirit of Jehovah's Witness is the spirit of the Antichrist. And if the pleasant and confident visitors at your door tell you that Jesus is a created being and the brother of Lucifer, then they also are denying the deity of Christ, and hence their spirit of Mormonism is the spirit of the Antichrist. We need to test the teachers. What do they say about the person of Christ? Who do they say he is? And then we also need to test the teachers regarding Christ about their teaching on the saving work of Christ. Notice carefully verse 2. It's easy to read so cursorily that we just run right past it, but we need to park here for a little bit. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, this phrase, has come, means a whole lot more than that Jesus showed up. We perceive this in the Gospel of John, same human author, but different book of the Bible. In John chapter 6, verses 38 and 39, Jesus speaks of himself as the bread of life when he declares, I have come. Notice that phrasing. I have come. What was John's phrasing in 1 John? Jesus Christ has come. What's Jesus' own phrasing? I have come. See the similarity? I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. Well, that's a salvation message. I have come, his saving work. And then in John 10:10, Jesus refers to his sheep when he says, I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. That's the saving work of Christ. He has come. He says, I have come to give life. And then John 12:23, Jesus anticipates the cross. He's looking toward the cross when he says, for this purpose, the purpose of the cross, I have come to this hour. There's a saving work. I have come for the purpose of the cross. And then later on in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, Jesus says again, I have come. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. There's salvation, the saving work of Christ. And then in John 18, Jesus again anticipates the cross as he's on trial before the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, and Jesus reveals that he's a king of a kingdom that's not of this world. And then Jesus declares, for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. I have come to bear witness to the truth. He says, elsewhere, you will know the truth will set you free. Salvation. And so we hear just what, 6 times, Jesus says, I have come, 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 I have come. Every time points to the saving work of Jesus Christ. In that little phrase, I have come. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus Christ says, I have come, he speaks of his saving work. In the first letter of John, when the apostle writes, Jesus Christ has come, the apostle reaches back into his gospel to gather up the saving work of the Christ who says, I have come. And so 1 John 4:2, when it says Jesus Christ has come, it's talking about the saving work of Jesus. It means a whole lot more than that. He just showed up. He's come to save. So every spirit from God will affirm that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh to accomplish his saving work by his righteous life, his atoning death on the cross, and his victorious resurrection from the tomb. And a spirit that denies some aspect of the saving work of Christ. A spirit that denies that Jesus Christ paid for our sins on the cross. Or that denies that he rose bodily from the dead. Any spirit that denies any aspect of the saving work of Christ is not of God, but of the Antichrist. There's a third aspect of who and what Jesus has done that we need to test when we're testing teachers. What do they say about the apostolic witness to Christ? What do they say about the person of Christ, the saving work of Christ, and the apostolic witness to Christ? You see, Christ himself appointed the apostles to be with him as eyewitnesses of his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. So the apostles are authoritative witnesses both to the events surrounding Christ and to the meaning of those events. But the false teachers of John's day were denying the apostolic witness to Christ. And that's why in 1 John 1:1-4, right at the beginning of his letter, John proclaims that he writes this letter in order to affirm the apostolic witness to Christ. We saw him. We heard him. We touched him. We're witnesses. I and the other apostles, John says in chapter 1:1-4. Therefore, in testing the spirits to see whether they are from God, we need to test the teachers as to whether they affirm or deny the witness of the apostles as revealed in the New Testament. For example, in our day, right now, there are some false teachers who claim that there is ongoing new revelation for the church that is just as inspired and authoritative as the Bible. And this false teaching is infiltrating some churches right here in Minnesota right now. But it is the apostles whom Christ chose and authorized as witnesses of his gospel. And that's why every single book of the New Testament, all 27 books, every single one of them, was written either by an apostle or by an associate of an apostle writing under apostolic authority. So with the deaths of the apostles, the scriptures are complete. There is nothing to be added to the Bible. The apostles whom Christ chose and authorized as witnesses to the gospel are no longer with us, so there is no ongoing new revelation for the church that is just as inspired and authoritative as the apostolic witness of the New Testament scriptures. And that is why 2 John 9 warns us not to run ahead of the teaching of Christ that we already have. Don't run ahead into some purported new ongoing revelation. Don't run ahead. Stick with what's here. Don't run ahead of the teaching of Christ that we already have. Oh, yes. A Muslim may have a dream in which Christ says, "I am Jesus the Messiah, follow me." It's happening all over the Muslim world. But the teaching that Jesus is the Messiah, whom we are to follow, is already here in Scripture. It's not new revelation. So the apostolic teaching, as revealed in Scripture, is the arbiter of truth. For it is the apostles whom Christ commissioned as his witnesses who have seen and heard and touched the life that has been revealed. True teaching will remain within the boundaries of the apostolic witness. False teaching will violate those apostolic boundaries and run ahead into things not revealed in Scripture. False teaching will violate the apostolic boundaries and run ahead. So let's be alert. Let's be ready. It's here in Minnesota. Well, so then, how do we test whether a teaching is from the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Antichrist? We must first test the teachers diligently, thoroughly. Every pastor ordained in the Evangelical Free Church must first go through a 5-hour examination. Thorough, diligent testing. Test the teachers. What do they affirm or deny about the person of Christ, the saving work of Christ, and the apostolic witness to Christ? Well, having tested the teachers, there's another group we also need to test, and that's the people who are listening to the teachers. The people giving the teaching, the people listening to the teaching, the audiences. Who celebrates their teaching? Who's celebrating the teaching of the teachers? In other words, among whom does a certain teaching find a ready following? The answer to that question will help us to discern between teachers of truth and teachers of falsehood. So to audiences or listeners who are genuine believers in Christ, John writes in verse 4, here's my favorite verse of the section, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them," the false teachers. Amen? "Because the one who is in you, the Holy Spirit, is greater than the devil, the Antichrist, who's in the world." Double amen. Amen and amen. These are the audiences, the listeners, who are listening to true teaching, genuine believers in Christ. And what a wonderful assurance this gives us. When you get nervous about all the false teaching running around and all the false prophets that have come into the world, just open up 1 John 4:4 and park on it for a while. Then we come to verses 5 and 6. They, the false teachers, are from the world. And remember in John, or rather in 1 John, the world is all the behaviors and cultural values in the world that are contrary to God. They, the false teachers, are from the world that rebels against God. And therefore, they speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We, John speaking of himself and other true teachers, are from God And whoever knows God listens to us. See how the focus is on the listeners? And whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And so who listens to the teaching of the false teachers? Who celebrates their teaching? Where do the false teachers find a ready following? The unbelieving world that rejects Christ celebrates the worldly teaching of the worldly false teachers. The ungodly world follows the ungodly teachers while rejecting godly teachers. On the other hand, who listens to the godly teaching of godly teachers? Who celebrates their teaching? People who know the God of truth celebrate the teaching of the truth. Teachers whose teaching is from God find a ready following among the people of God. So there's the test of the audience, the test of the listener. Observing who listens to what teaching, observing who celebrates a teaching, can help us to discern whether that teaching is true or false. I'll give an example. In our culture, there are two opposing teachings regarding who gets to define marriage. One teaching affirms that marriage belongs to God, and Scripture reveals that from the beginning, God has defined marriage as a lifelong covenant between one man and one woman. The opposing teaching says that marriage belongs to the state alone, and so the state can redefine marriage however the state decides. Marriage belongs to God, He defines it. Marriage belongs to the state defines it. Those are the two opposing teachings. Now, which of these two teachings is celebrated by those that believe that the Bible is the verbally inspired, inerrant, authoritative Word of God? And which of these two teachings is celebrated by the unbelieving world? Who's listening to the teaching that says it's God who defines marriage, and He defines marriage as a lifelong covenant between one man and one woman? Who's listening to that teaching? And who's listening to the teaching that says the state defines marriage? So which of these two teachings is from the Spirit of God, and which from the spirit of the Antichrist? Which of these teachings is true? Which is false? Observe which teaching is celebrated by whom, and you will discern the answer. Observe who follows which teaching, what kind of crowd each teaching attracts, and you'll be testing the spirits. And I think everyone here knows where I stand. So then, how do we test the spirits so that we may discern which teachings are from the Spirit of God and which teachings come up from the belly of the pit that is bottomless? Spirit of the Antichrist. How do we test the spirits? We test the teachers, first of all. Is what they teach about the person of Christ and the saving work of Christ within the boundaries of the apostolic witness to Christ in Scripture? And then we test the audiences. Who's celebrating which teaching? Which teaching gains a ready audience? Does a certain teaching find a ready reception among the people of God? Or does that teaching find a welcome in the world that rebels against God? And by applying these two tests, the test of the teacher and the test of the listener, we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So then, as John writes, this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. In your notes, by applying these tests, we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Now, at this point, someone may object if they haven't already. Oh, but Pastor Chris. I mean, up until now, Pastor Chris, I thought you were a really nice guy. I mean, the kids were really loving on you this morning, weren't they? But Pastor Chris, all this seems so narrow. All this seems, what you said, it just seems so intolerant. What about diversity? And what about love? Well, suppose I live along a little country road about a quarter of a mile from a bridge that runs over a stream. Nice bucolic setting, nice country setting. Live on the country road, quarter of a mile from a bridge that's over a stream. And let's suppose that there's a series of two or three days when there have been so terrible, terrible storms and flash floods have come along with a raging fury and the bridge is washed out. And soon after the bridge gets washed out, before the county's gotten there, I'm standing by the side of the road when a car comes speeding along to where the bridge used to be. Now, what's the more loving choice for me to make? Is it more loving for me to decide? Well, in the interests of tolerance and driving diversity, I will let this driver think whatever they want to think about the road conditions. After all, one belief is as good as another. And I'll just let them drive ahead if they want to. Or is it more loving for me to step into the road, wave my hands at the driver and say, "Stop! The bridge is out! Stop! The bridge is out!" It's more loving for me to tell the driver the truth, isn't it? Driver might not want to hear it. It's going to interrupt the journey in the car. They're going to be late to where they're going if they ever get there. But it's more loving for me to tell the driver the truth that the bridge is washed out. And it's more gladsome for me to tell the truth, as hard as it might be for the driver to hear. Why? Because love rejoices with the truth. Love rejoices with the truth. And so the loving thing for us to do is to discern the spirit of truth from the spirit of falsehood, and then to share our discernment with others for the health of our soul and theirs. For love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love does not delight in the spirit of Antichrist, but rejoices with the Spirit of God. Amen. Let's pray as we prepare for our family care fund offering and as our praise team gets ready to lead us a song. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you are the God of truth. And Lord Jesus Christ, you have told us that the truth will set us free. Give us discernment. Give us insight and understanding. Give us Holy Spirit anointed wisdom, that we might be able to discern truth from error, your Spirit, Lord God, from the Spirit of Antichrist, to be able to sniff out the stinky false teaching and to enjoy the perfume of the truth. In Christ's name, amen.